My name is Rip Van Wagner from the lovely village of Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC, ACRA, Catskill and More, 90.7 FM.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in ACRA, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. During our sustainable pledge drive, we're asking your help at wgxc.org/donate, becoming a sustaining supporter, donating just 17 cents a day, $5 a month, to make sure that community radio continues in the Upper Hudson Valley, to make sure that local voices continue to have a platform to speak, and you get to continue to hear all sorts of music from around the world and around the corner. Today on the WGXC Morning Show, we're going to hear about the Divest New York Teachers Campaign. They're trying to get divest New York from fossil fuels, and we'll hear from Jordan Dale on the issue. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
News. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bob Wills Architecture of Rhinecliff, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Natasha Von Holdridge reports for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County Board of Supervisors approved $175,000 to maintain the county mobile crisis assessment team. The team is charged with assessing people and connecting them to appropriate services. It is made up of a mix of licensed professionals and paraprofessionals with a full-time staff of six and about 20 total staff members. The team works with the backing of the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green Counties. Green County will also fund the program by contributing $175,000, according to a statement from the Board of Supervisors. Funding for the team was previously provided through the state, but was discontinued at the end of 2021. Columbia County's portion of the funding comes through the federal government's American Rescue Plan Act. The Mobile Crisis Assessment Team has served 6,115 people since it was established in 2015, Team Director Catherine Oldakowski said in a statement. That amount includes 3,059 people from Columbia County and 3,056 individuals from Greene County. Oldakowski said, quote, "We've been dispatched just about 4,000 times for in-person assessments. We maintain a 93% diversion rate from unnecessary hospitalization. We maintain a 99% diversion rate from further police intervention," unquote. The team did not only aids people with mental health issues, but also responds to calls from those substance abuse issues as well. The Mobile Crisis Assessment Team can be reached at 518-943-5555. The line is staffed 365 days a year from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Rebecca F. Ward reports in the Times Union that New York's cannabis regulators approved rules on March 10th that would give business owners with documented cannabis offenses the first chances in the state to open a retail cannabis store. Owners or a family member of applicants must have been ticketed or arrested for a cannabis offense in New York to get the first licenses issued in New York. The Drug Policy Alliance's executive director, Cassandra Frederick, said, and I quote, "The marijuana arrest crusade in New York law enforcement was targeted disproportionately at Black and Latino people, who compose nearly 90% of marijuana arrests, despite using at rates similar to white people," end quote. Adding that she was encouraged to see the state, and I quote, "attempting to innovate," end quote, with its policy decisions. A representative of the Office of Cannabis Management explained the policy. Axel Burnaby, the office's senior policy director, said, and I quote, "The dispensaries and retailers would be selling the product that would have been grown by New York farmers. We would be looking for individuals that come from communities that have been impacted by the overcriminalization," end quote. Even with the announcement, it may be more than a year before stores can open. Chris Alexander, the executive director of the Office of Cannabis Management, said, and I quote, "We're anticipating July or so for the application tied to these conditional retail licenses. I want to emphasize again, this is a small segment of the potential dispensary licenses, but we found it prudent to get this market off the ground as soon as possible," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Melanie Lekasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that two candidates face off in the Ravenna Village mayoral election on March 15th. Incumbent Bill Misuraca is seeking his third term. He is a Republican but did not secure the GOP endorsement during the January caucus. Misuraca was then nominated by the Democrats, and his name will appear on the Democratic line. The name of challenger Dominic Ruggeria, also a Republican, will appear on the GOP line. Ms. Uraka is a lifelong resident of Ravenna and graduated from Ravenna Queeman Selkirk High School in 1990. She's the owner and operator of the Halfway House Tavern on Main Street in the village. The business has been in the family for 106 years. Ms. Uraka is coming to the end of his second four-year term and is seeking a third. He said the village has much to be proud of. Quote, "We are on a roll," unquote, he said. Quote, "We have managed to secure well over $7 million in grants to improve our infrastructure, wastewater retention and disposal, and we have some of the best rates and marks for our water quality in the state, so I'm very proud of that. More recently, we received a grant for nearly $200,000 to improve the Mosher Park," unquote. If reelected, Ms. Uraka said securing funding for infrastructure improvements would be at the top of his to-do list, plus continued efforts at economic development. This is Ruggeria's first mayoral bid. He previously ran for village justice. He has worked in the human services field for more than 30 years and is currently employed as the director of residential services for the nonprofit organization Equinox, Incorporated in Albany. He oversees residential housing for adult clients with a mental health diagnosis and teens in the Youth Transitional Living Program. Jeria has lived in the village for 11 years and holds a bachelor's degree in criminal justice with a minor in business from Southern Vermont College. He's running for office because he wants to see a change in the village. Quote, taxes have gone up and there is not much economic development that I have seen. I've seen little stuff here and there, but there's not a lot for village residents. I want to get things back to where they were years ago. It's not where it's supposed to be, unquote, Ruggiero said. He wants to secure funding to support small businesses and draw new businesses into the area. If elected, another top priority would be to create a community center to offer daycare and after-school programs on a sliding scale based on household income to be affordable for working parents, he said. Improving infrastructure is also vital, he said. Read more about the story at theupstater.com.
Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that dairy farmers have been complaining recently about having to pay overtime wages to workers, the kind that grocery store employees get. Now they also want New York City not to ban chocolate milk because they say they will sell less of the dairy product. And they have Democrats such as Representative Antonio Delgado and Republicans such as Assemblymember Chris Teague on their side. Delgado said in a statement, and I quote, "It is critical that children have access to school meals that support their growth and well-being. I am deeply concerned by attempts to ban flavored milk from New York City schools," end quote. Delgado and other New York State members of the Congress have signed a letter objecting to the removal of chocolate milk from New York City schools. They include Republican Elise Stefanik, John Katico, Tom Redd, Claudia Tini, Chris Jacobs, and Lee Zeldin, and Democrat Sean Patrick Maloney. The letter said, and I quote, "Studies have shown that reducing or eliminating the availability of flavored milk in schools has led to overall decreased milk consumption and increased food waste. In fact, a study of Oregon schools by Cornell found total daily milk sales declined by 9.9% when flavored milk was removed from the cafeteria and was associated with 6.8% fewer students eating lunch," end quote. Teague agreed. Teague said in a statement, "Cold, refreshing chocolate milk with a school lunch is a small, timeless joy that has carried students through the challenges of academia for decades. The thought of taking this small treat from our children, along with significant revenue from our dairy farmers, is incredibly callous and reeks of nanny statism," end quote. The elected officials did not tout chocolate milk as better nutritionally for children, but instead focused on sales of milk for dairy farmers. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Porcupine Soup reports that after a two-year hiatus, the Greenville St. Patrick's Day Parade will return March 19th when the Greenville Irish American Club once again hosts this annual event. The parade, now in its 47th year, has not taken place since 2019 due to COVID-19. On the 19th, marchers will line up at 12:30 p.m. in the parking lot of St. John the Baptist Roman Catholic Church on State Route 81. The parade will step off at 1 p.m. and then head down State Route 81 into town. Greenville's parade is traditionally held on the Saturday after St. Patrick's Day. According to historic records, the St. Patrick's Day parade was held as early as March 17, 1601, in what is now St. Augustine, Florida. That city's parade celebrates 422 years this month. The first New York City celebration was held in 1762. The annual corned beef and cabbage dinner hosted by the Durham Task Force will be held on March 17th at the Blackthorn Resort. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that six candidates are competing for three seats on the Catskill Village Board in the March 15th election. Jeffrey Holliday and Michelle Williams are running against each other for a two-year term, and Diane Petriani-March, Jamie Heyer Mitchell, Megan Henry, and Natasha Law compete for the 2 3-year terms. Petriani March works for the Catskill Central School District and is running on the Republican and Village Visions lines. Petriani March said, and I quote, "I'd like to improve the parks. I want to make them safe for kids to play. I want to continue to improve the sidewalks and create housing opportunities in the village," end quote. Heyer Mitchell works for Green Meadows Nursing and Rehabilitation Center and started the nonprofit animal rescue organization Higher Ground Rescue. and is running on the Republican and Village Vision lines. Hiya Marshall says priorities include, and I quote, fiscal responsibility and to ensure that services like fire, police, and sewer and water are maintained efficiently and proficiently, end quote. I want to improve the infrastructure in the village and maintain village roadways, end quote. Holiday is an incumbent and a retired police officer running on the Republican and Village Vision lines. Holiday said, and I quote, I want to make sure we find a place for our community center. We lost it a couple of years ago, and we need something for our youth, end quote. Henry is a founder, executive director of Catskill Food Pantry, and private vocal teacher running on the Democrat and Action Party lines. Priorities include, and I quote, after-school programs for children and our teens, as well as programming for adults and seniors. We need daycare centers that are affordable. Right now, we have nothing, and our community is suffering from this. Williams owns Mermaid Cafe Bittersweet and is running on the Democratic and Action Party lines. Williams said, and I quote, there are many things that can be done to improve and help the village, i.e. affordable housing, revitalizing Main Street and village businesses, a community center, children and resident activities, affordable daycare, but it all comes down to funding and allocating the money to make these things a reality, end quote. Law owns the Juice Branch and is an incumbent Democrat. Law said, and I quote, we've created a filming ordinance and I hope to get it adopted once elected after a public hearing is set. This ordinance provides protection of the quality of life of residents, but also welcomes filming companies and provides much needed revenue for the village of Catskill, end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Monday will be mostly sunny, with a high near 52 and a low around 36. Tuesday, there's a 20% chance of showers after 3 p.m., with cloudy skies and a high of 53, low around 36 Tuesday night with a 40% chance of rain. Wednesday, there's a 20% chance of rain in the morning, then turning partly sunny with a high of 55 and a low around 38. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears. The WGXC Sustainable Pledge Drive continues on Monday, March 14th. We're asking you to go to wgxc.org/donate and become a sustainable supporter of the community radio in the Upper Hudson Valley, a place that gives all sorts of folks from all walks of life and all ages a platform for what they want to say, what they want to play on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. On Monday, tune in the Afrosonic Taxi at 10 a.m. with Joseph Kamga, Brigitte Engelberts, and Fela Kuti among the featured artists. At 11 a.m., Brendan Donegan is playing favorites live from the WGXC Hudson Studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church. He's got an Aretha Franklin special coming your way. The Deep Three show is on after the local news at noon with works from Finesse, Earl Fjord, Jerome Poirier, and others. At 7 p.m., it's time for the Law and Disorder show. And then at 8 p.m., Rob Van Erv has a special Everything All the Time Ukrainian and Russian music broadcast on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page.
and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The Jacob Leisler Institute for the Study of Early New York History is giving out a $500 scholarship in memory of Ruth Pawanka, an influential and well-known local historian. The award will go to a student locally looking to further their education in history. The scholarship is available to college-bound seniors graduating from a Columbia County school, and applications are due by May 1st. For more information and application guidelines, you can contact the Leisler Institute at info@jacobleiserinstitute.org. Go to the WGXC community calendar online for a link to this scholarship award information and listings of all sorts of other local community events.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, March 14th. 16% of the way through the year, just 6 whole days left until spring. Early morning lows are 24 in Claryville to 28 in Quarryville. Then things warm up, reaching 53 degrees by 3 p.m. Cloud cover will be moderate, so don't forget those sunglasses if you head out to enjoy it. Overnight, we dip to 36 degrees before hitting 55 tomorrow at 3 p.m. The day will be cloudy with rain entering the area in the late afternoon. Not much is expected to fall. What does will taper off by dawn when temperatures reach a low of 36 degrees. Wednesday will be sunny and temperatures hit a high of 56 degrees in the afternoon. 39 degrees overnight takes us into a moist Thursday with a high of 60 degrees. And wow, we're looking at 65 on Friday. Pollen levels for today. Yes, pollen levels are back. Get used to it. But they will be low for the foreseeable future, turning medium on Thursday. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 6:30 a.m., high tide at 12:30 p.m., low tide again at 7:22 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 36 degrees. Sunset today will be at 6:46 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:07 a.m. Looking way up, we see some residual magnetic interference after the CME strike that occurred with a tear on our planetary magnetic field on Sunday. Solar wind speed is currently 441 kilometers per second at 7.2 protons per million. Radio propagation conditions are currently just terrible. The end. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 6, storm level. The current sunspot number is 64. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, who are proud to be in a country that allows us to say whatever we want. Unlike some countries, huh, comrades? So, show your support for the locals that help get the word out, no matter what that word may be. Please head on over to WGXC.org and click on Donate today.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Matthew Tombers of Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is WA3QIZ. Do you read me?
Seymour, isn't it about time you made a real friend?
Mother, please, I'm communicating with my fellow hams.
How do I talk? Push this button here. You're all losers!
Satellite's gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I like to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite's gone. Way up to Mars. Soon it'll be filled with park and cars. I watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. You've been bold with Harry, Mark, and John. Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday through Thursday with Harry, Mark, and John. Satellite's gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Moving assets out of Russian companies is being done because it's wrong to profit off of humanitarian horrors.
Grad student and climate activist Devon Reynolds wants the retirement fund for her and other Colorado public employees not to own Russian fossil fuel assets. Pressure for divestment is building here and in Europe. Sunday, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan restated that the U.S. will defend all NATO territory. A barrage of Russian missiles struck a training facility near Ukraine's border with NATO member Poland. At least 35 people died in the attack. The New York Times has confirmed that award-winning video journalist Brent Renaud was killed in Ukraine. He is the first American journalist known to be killed in the war. The Pentagon says it has not seen signs of an imminent chemical or biological attack, but experts say it's not out of the question. RAND Corporation researcher Daniel Gerenstein.
We're looking at the potential for a false flag operation.
something where the Russians may declare that there are issues and they're expecting some sort of chemical or biological attack, and they are going to prepare for that.
The White House has released an additional $200 million in defense assistance for Ukraine. At President Joe Biden's request, Congress has now approved billions more. South Carolina's Republican Party chair, Drew McKissick, lashed out at Democrats during a rally there over the weekend.
They've gone crazy. They're like that bar scene out of Star Wars, you know, a collection of everything that's crazy in the universe.
Former President Donald Trump called the rally to support House GOP candidates Katie Arrington and Russell Fry. In his speech, Trump blamed Biden for high gas prices and attacked his handling of Russia's invasion.
Under Biden, Pelosi, and the radical Democrats, we're losing our country no different than if we had lost it in a war.
In a possible preview of his campaign's position, Texas Democratic gubernatorial candidate Beto O'Rourke publicly reversed his stance on critical race theory at a town hall meeting.
It's a course that is taught in law school. No, I don't think it should be taught in our schools.
O'Rourke's opponent, incumbent Governor Greg Abbott, signed a ban on critical race theory into law last summer. At the Democratic National Committee winter meeting in Washington, D.C., Vice President Kamala Harris said the party will have to work hard in the midterms to protect its majorities on Capitol Hill.
That's why you all are here, knowing the work that must be done, knowing it's not going to be easy.
I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You've tuned in to WGXC during our Sustainable Pledge Drive. We're asking for you to make a donation to keep WGXC on the air and bringing you all sorts of entertainment, information, and more. WGXC.org/donate. That's WGXC.org/donate. If you go to WGXC.org, you'll see a donate button there, and you can become a sustaining supporter of WGXC. You give a little bit every month, and then WGXC can more easily make our budget so that we know what we can afford and how we can move forward. That's the idea of sustainable supporters. We are nearing our goal. We're about $1,200 a month away. And most people give at least 17 cents a day is all it takes to become a sustaining supporter. That's $5 a month. I think our average is actually $14 a month for sustaining supporters, but you can give as little as $5 a month, 17 cents a day, and become a sustaining supporter at WGXC and help eliminate or lessen these pledge drives. So it would bring you more entertainment and more information. If you chip a little in the till over there, throw a couple quarters in there, and we'll be on our way. If you can make a donation today at WGXC.org/donate, the weather might be one reason you go to WGXC.org/donate and make a donation, become a sustainable supporter, because WGXC has all sorts of weather coverage. We've got live weather feeds, a microphone in the woods at Wave Farm called Test Site for Acoustic Commons that you can listen to anytime to find out the weather at Wave Farm. We've got hydrophones, microphones in the Wave Farm pond, give you the sense of the underwater weather. We've got Quintron's Weather Warlock, which turns the changes in precipitation, the changes in sunlight, the changes in wind, and the changes in temperature into sound. And we've got Quintron's Traffic Sacks, which monitors activity on Route 23 in Accra. Right now, we're mixing them all together and listening to the 4 live weather streams that you can get at WGXC.org. If you don't want to listen to the FM station, there's all kinds of other flavors to listen to, and many of them are weathered flavors. So here is mixing all 4 flavors of weather web streams that WGXC offers together. Thank you. So consider going to wgxc.org/donate today for all the weather coverage you hear on wgxc.org, 90.7 FM. You hear every day the local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate that provides much more than just the normal grounded forecast you hear on local airwaves, but the space weather and whether it's time to add antifreeze to your car. Weather you can use from Catskill Maker Syndicate, the better weather, weekdays on WGXC. We also have regular reports from retired meteorologist Hugh Johnson, as well as, of course, school closings, weather alerts, and more. WGXC is your weather source, another reason that you might go to wgxc.org/donate during our sustainable pledge drive and make WGXC a more sustainable station in the area. We've just added solar panels to the WGXC wave farm roof that's going to make WGXC a solar-powered radio station. Yes, WGXC is a solar-powered radio station. We are part of the solution, not part of the problem now. No more sending money to horrible corporations or foreign despots. We're getting our energy from the sun. This will help lower costs, help the environment, and help make WGXC a sustainable part of the Hudson Valley media ecosystem. We're asking for your help to continue that goal, to continue to let hundreds and thousands of local voices have access to the one slice of the airwaves that the public actually has access to. They're your public airwaves. But those corporations are spewing toxic fumes into the ether on those airwaves. Here we're trying to share the love, trying to share what's happening in our community. Please consider going to 518-697-7400 or wgxc.org/donate, becoming a sustaining supporter today to keep WGXC on the air tomorrow.
Hey,
tomorrow.
This is Joshua, and this is Radio Wonderland. Saturday morning.
Tomorrow.
This is Joshua.
90.7 FM WGXC, you never know what the weather will bring.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We are joined today by Jordan Deal, who's one of the lead organizers with the Divest New York campaign that has been working on divesting various public pension funds from fossil fuels, had a fair amount of success convincing the state controller to divest from the common pension fund. But now they've been turning their attention to the New York State Teachers Retirement System, which covers teachers outside primarily New York City and other, you know, school officials. So this last week they held a lobby day. So Jordan, you know, how is the campaign to divest the New York State Teachers Funds from fossil fuels going, and why is it important?
Well, it's important. The divestment movement is important because there is a villain in the climate change story, and the villain is fossil fuel companies. They knew for many years that their product was causing greenhouse gas emissions that were going to warm the planet with devastating effect. And yet they misled the public, lied, and continued to prioritize their profit over the health of the planet and over the future of humanity. And so the divestment movement seeks to point this out, stigmatize the fossil fuel industry, and erode its stranglehold on decision makers in this country and throughout the world that need to be strident in their effort to transition us from fossil fuels to renewables. So that's why we need to divest from fossil fuel companies.
So what exactly would this particular piece of legislation do? How much money does the teachers actually have invested? And are you getting legislators to sign on to this this bill?
So the bill would require the teachers' retirement system to divest from fossil fuels. We believe the teacher's retirement system has about $4.5 billion, with a B, dollars invested in the fossil fuel industry, although those numbers are a little murky because the teacher's retirement system is not particularly good at being transparent with its investments. And are we getting people to sign on? Well, before our lobby day, we had 78 legislators, 24 in the Senate and 54 in the Assembly, who had co-sponsored the Teachers Fossil Fuel Divestment Act. On lobby day, we got commitments from another 10 legislators to become co-sponsors. They haven't all appeared on the bill yet, but we will be following up with them until they do.
What's the, you know, state legislative leaders saying about this? I mean, in reality is the number of legislators on the bill is actually higher than most bills that actually get passed. Any commitment at this point to bring the bill up this session? And if not, why not?
There isn't any commitment yet. And we continue to call on Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins and Speaker Carl Hastie to move these bills. And, you know, we talk about this all the time. There are a lot, the fossil fuel industry has been able to rally a lot of political power. They're a formidable foe. And we need the leadership in the legislature to stand up to them and to move these bills along. But I will say this, Mark, the fact that there are 78 co-sponsors and another 10 plus on the way, should also be a message to the teachers' retirement system, because there's nothing stopping the teachers' retirement system from voluntarily divesting on their own. They've already committed to divesting from coal. Coal represents, I think, 1.4% of their fossil fuel holdings, and that it took them this long to agree to divest from coal is kind of a shame in itself. But the truth of the matter is that they have started to go down this road. And all that's required at this point is for them to create a timetable for getting to the end of the path, just like the Common Retirement Fund has done under the Comptroller Tom DiNapoli's leadership.
Now, one of the, I don't know, aggravations perhaps with the divestment campaign, it started off, hey, companies, we shouldn't be investing in companies that are threatening the future of the planet by contributing to climate change. Pension managers argue, well, we're not really allowed to make policy decisions. We only, can make decisions based on financial, concerns. We say, well, wait a moment. The fossil fuel industry has been the worst performing part of the stock market for the last decade. New York State lost, maybe $20 billion plus in value, but not divestment. But now, with Russia invading Ukraine, obviously very, very bad, suddenly every politician in the world wants to be the first ones to put out a press release saying, oh, we got to divest all our public pension funds and, government funds from Russia. Ignoring usually the issue that this fight between Russia and Ukraine and NATO, fossil fuels is sort of a key part of that. How is this rush to divest from, Russia stock? Do you think it may have any impact upon the broader, need to divest from fossil fuels?
Well, to the extent that fund managers have been objecting to divesting from fossil fuels, by using the argument that they can't make investment decisions for political reasons, what's happening now with Russia clearly undercuts that argument. It's going to be very difficult for them going forward to say that they can't make investment decisions based on political situations when, in fact, there's this rush to divest from Russia, which is purely a political situation. And I would argue that the fossil fuel industry is as much of a villain, a world villain, as Putin is, as Russia is right now. If Russia succeeds in what it is doing, it will kill many, many Ukrainians. I choke up when I think about it. And it will take over a country. But if the fossil fuel industry isn't checked, the planet may become uninhabitable. And so it is just as dark a villain, and fund managers should take a stand on this moral issue, moral political issue, just like they are on Russia. I will also point out that the source of Putin's geopolitical power is fossil fuels. 60% of Russia's exports are fossil fuels. And the single most impactful thing, in my opinion, that the United States can do to fight Russia and without firing a shot is to help to speed the transition from fossil fuels to renewables, particularly in Europe, so that Putin's source of money is eroded and his political influence is eroded. He will be cut off at the knees if the world no longer needs his fossil fuels.
So we only have about a minute left in talking with Jordan Diehl of Divest New York. I'll sort of do a two-part in question. One, it's very difficult for me to keep track of how much money has actually now been divested from fossil fuels and various pension funds. It goes up by billions of dollars. So what is, that general number at this point, how successful the divestment campaign has been? And if people want more information about the campaign to divest from the New York teachers' retirement system from fossil fuels, which, by the way, taxpayers are responsible for legally, how can they get more information in 40 seconds?
So they can if you're interested in more information on the teachers' divestment movement, you can go to divestnyteachers.org. We're especially interested in having teachers and retired teachers join us in this campaign. And I will note that the divestment movement worldwide passed a wonderful milestone very recently. There are now $40 trillion worth of capitalization in companies that have agreed to divest. 1,500 institutions worldwide were valued at $40 trillion have committed to divestment.
Jordan Dale, The Vest New York. This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hey, this is Spike Priggin, host of the Bedazzled Radio Hour here on WGXC. We're in the middle of our 2022 pledge drive. Please think about becoming a sustaining supporter to keep shows like the Bedazzled Radio Hour on the air. Be sure to listen every Wednesday from 12:10 until 2. Call now, 518-697-7400, 518-697-7400, or go to wgxc.org/donate.
Here is 2022 music from Lucretia Dalt. This is an album that is a soundtrack. It's called The Seed, to a movie by Lucretia Dalt. This track, Leonid's Temple, features a tape loop by Aaron Dillaway.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
You have tuned into WGXC 90.7 FM during our Spring Pledge Drive. It's our renewable, sustainable pledge drive, and we're trying to make WGXC a sustainable part of the Hudson Valley media ecosystem. That's right. We want to keep WGXC on the air, keep people having a place where they can talk about local issues, where they can do their own radio show, where they can learn valuable media skills, where they can tune in local town meetings, where they can tune in local performances, where they can hear about new music from local programmers, from local musicians, and from sound artists around the world. That's WGXC 90.7 FM. And in our efforts to be renewable, we're asking you to sign up as a sustaining supporter at WGXC 90.7 FM. Go to wgxc.org/donate. And for just 17 cents a day, $5 a month, you can become a sustaining supporter and make sure WGXC stays on the air. And we've got stuff to give back to you, too. We're going solar. The solar panels are now on the roof at Wave Farm, and the switch is about to be turned on, making WGXC a solar-powered radio station. And then next week, we've got something else for you. WGXC's app has been available in the App Store just to Mac and Apple users so far. But the Android version of the WGXC app will be available beginning next week sometime. And this app lets you broadcast your own radio shows. It lets you listen, of course, to all kinds of WGXC programs. You can listen live to WGXC through the app. You can listen to all the archived programs and archived information at the WGXC app that's available for free in the App Store. But there's also a transmit button that lets you become a broadcaster. You can do your own monologues. You can do your own podcasts. We'll set it up so people can subscribe to your
transmissions. You can broadcast local town meetings yourself. You can broadcast local lectures. You can broadcast local performances. Just get the permission of those that you're transmitting. But the WGXC app is a tool for you, and it is right now free in for Apple users and will be free